I'm Christopher Lydon, excited to share an aha moment in Cairo, in the painting studio in the masterclass of Khaled Hafez. We came to Egypt to see Arab artists in this upheaval, this maybe stuck revolution in North Africa, and then wow, I knew that the paintings we're looking at, the photography, the digital art, the prints, and God knows the graffiti on the studio walls, are the very life and power inside what's been happening. You want to see what I'm talking about in the slideshow on our open source site? I began to get it when Khaled Hafez spoke about 5, 6, 7,000 years of wall painting behind his studio and his students.
I do believe that graffiti is an ancient Egyptian practice. I think this is when serendipity comes in, because graffiti has always existed in Egypt, but then the content, it was something else. The content was always like somebody making fun of something. But we, for the first time, we've had like really serious content, social content, something that I think is much more superior to anything I've seen in the past 50 years in graffiti movements all over the world. Good. You know, like, it's something really superior. It's something, you know, Banksy, like the guru of graffiti, the British guru of graffiti, he has this fantastic phrase, like, the wall is the most democratic surface that is being, like, appreciated by everyone. Mm. I think this word was said in England, in my opinion, for Egyptians 10 years after. Ancient Egyptians invented painting as we know it. Before ancient Egyptians, before 3,400 years, there was no painting. There was rock art, drawings. There was cave art, drawings. The content was expressing certain festivities or hunting or weddings or whatever. But then painting as we know it, like painting a surface from ceiling to floor and from right to left, a whole tomb telling multiple narratives, this is only ancient Egyptian. And it came back with graffiti. We have a different type of graffiti. We're telling stories with graffiti. Mm. We're passing a daily message. Actually, it was something very much reminiscent of, you know, what you see in blogs. It was concurrent to blogs and concurrent to Facebook and Twitter. You pass one single message in Twitter, 149 characters. That's exactly, we had daily graffiti. So there was Twitter, there was Facebook, and there were graffiti passing a daily message to something happening in the newspaper or the news or a military figure or an Islamic figure coming out on TV saying something the following day or that night. You find like the response to that ideogram or pictograph or left an ideogrammy or pictography on the wall. I think this is phenomenal. I think this is like unique.
I got to confess, I had to come here to get that very powerful point that you've got a, there's a combination here of Egyptian themes like Denzir's cat, stencil art, wall painting, as you say, Egyptian symbols from time immemorial, with Andy Warhol influences, multimedia or photography, video, and old-fashioned painting. I didn't know that there were that many great painters who could go to a wall in Tahrir Square, who could make images of that grotesque, that grotesquely beaten face of Khaled Said, and make a statement that the whole world understands immediately. Yeah.
See, graffiti, there were like, we must, if we speak about graffiti, there are like certain names that we absolutely, you need, they need to be mentioned, you know, like there was Ganzir, there is Ammar Aboubakr, of course, who is initially a professor of painting at Luxor Fine Arts, who is a graffiti artist. You know, all those graffiti artists, they live like Batman, hooded at night, escaping from the military police or escaping from whatever. They used to escape even from the Brotherhood. Now they're beating the Brotherhood and getting people to protect them against. So all of them, they have different names in the morning as citizens. And then, you know, like different avatar names, Batman names at night. So Ganzir is Muhammad, as you know. And then there is Kaiser, who is actually Karim. And then there is Tanin. I don't know the name of Tanin. Aya Tariq from Alexandria, she works with her own name. And there is a guy called Ala who works with his own name. But there are like most of those. There are eight graffiti artists who actually do all those politically incorrect imagery. The ultras, they do graffiti that is very much like international graffiti in terms of, you know, in terms of clumsiness, you know, lack of exquisite mannerist finishing, you mm-hmm. know. But the beauty of the Egyptian, those 8 or 9 or 10 graffiti artists who actually like gave this international face of graffiti, it's that they finish it as in a way that made Banksy famous, you know. Like, it's actually they're aware of international graffiti and their development. Sameh Ismail is doing textured works, fantastic textured works. He's actually a painter who does this calligraphic work, so he actually transmits those on walls.
Khaled Hafez, there's a bigger story here than I expected about the contribution of young painters in an ancient tradition making a critical contribution. How do you explain it?
You know, I think it's linked to the whole culture. Apart from it, that Egyptians invented painting, you know, this painting started 3,200 years BC, and it stayed all the way until it disappeared a few centuries after Jesus. Throughout those years, the painting rules and laws never changed. It's always about telling a story, because the local specificity of the culture, it's a culture of telling stories, of narrative. You find it verbally in the folk songs. It's all about ballads. We don't have, you know, like only in the second half of the 20th century that we started to have songs that speak about, you know, like... people falling in love and emotional and loving and everything. But throughout, you know, like there is a whole tradition of hundreds of year old songs. They all tell a story, you know. And I think in painting, this emergence of graffiti, at last there is some sort of like, you know, graffiti found the story to tell. And at the same time, the story found a new method of expression to express. You know, there are certain laws of this new graffiti. The ancient Egyptian laws of painting, always, the painting was flat and graphic and always kinetic, moving. You know, the figures moved from one side of the surface to the other, one side of the wall to the other. And always there was a text to illustrate the image. And in every single text written by Egyptians, even on scrolls, there was a drawing or a painting to illustrate the text. So painting and text were very much linked to each other. This is what we know now as the comic strip, for instance, you know. And at the same time, graffiti, there is always a text illustrating the image and an image illustrating a comment statement. So I think now we're in front of a form, of a new ancient form, or a revival or resuscitation or resurrection of a form of expression that is flat and graphic, that is very much, you know, ancient Egyptian painting, there were like stories, all the stories were like propaganda, religious propaganda or fiction about this deceased person who is meeting those gods or meeting those whatever. There was military propaganda of the Pharaoh vanquishing the Hittites, which probably was not true. You know, like, so you have, like, all sorts of propaganda, all sorts of documentation, all sorts of false documentation, all sorts of fiction. But always there were stories that illustrate the image and image illustrating the text. So today, with the street walls, with those graffiti, expressive murals, they're not like standard graffitis, like you see, like the midnight underground graffiti in which, like, you have, like, youngsters vandalizing the walls of the metro or passing messages to each other, to gangs passing messages to each other. No, you have here, like, a statement, a reflection that is more like of a tweet, you know, like one phrase, two phrases with an image tweet, you know. I think it's a new form, and I think we need to write more about that.
It's my habit by now to seek out artists in a complicated situation, really because we think that poets and storytellers and writers and painters, it's their job to tell the truth in a way that politicians and even pundits don't. But this is something much further. There's a medium here that is absolutely... forever Egyptian, but it's also speaking through, as you say, the tweet speed and a simple graphic advertising energy that catches the world.
It does make sense, but, you know, it remains to say if it's going to be the future or not.
Khaled Hafez, thank you for letting us into your studio. You know, we came out here to discover Arab artists in a revolution. I didn't realize until I got here that artists, traditional and incredibly modern, are at the very, very center of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Christopher Mark, for this lovely day with you, with the podcast and radio and sound and exchange. It's really lovely to be with you here.
I said to Khaled Hafez as we left his studio and his students, you're the people we came to Egypt to discover, and you're among the main reasons we want to come back. Mark Fonseca Rendiro recorded and edited this conversation in Cairo. Listeners, please take a close look at the paintings and the prints posted on our website, radioopensource.org, and leave your own comment, of course. I'm Christopher Lydon. Thank you for being part of the conversation.
عندك مكان